Yi. The subject is the subject of spiritual gifts. This is the subject in chapter 12 and in chapter 13 and in chapter 14. Now, as you move from 12 to 13 to 14, it is evident that a particular gift will be focused on, will be dealt with more than others, which is the gift of speaking in tongues or in languages. هبة الكلام بالألسنة هبة من الهبات العجائبية اللي الرب أعطاها في ذلك الوقت. One of the miraculous gifts God gave at that time. It is evident that Paul wants to focus on that gift a bit more than other gifts. But he deals with the subject broadly to begin with. He wants to lay a foundation. He wants to establish general principles. بدو يعطي مبادئ عامة قبل ما يدخل بالتفاصيل before going into details. There are diversities of gifts, verse 4, but there is one spirit. These gifts are gifts of God's grace. This is what the word means in verse 4. And therefore, it is not a matter of deserving one gift or the other. Differences of administrations. Remember, in verse 5, the word is services, خدمات. Emphasizing that these things are for the service of other believers, for the service of the body of Christ. And verse 6, diversities of operations. And here the word is workings, amel, functionality. A person is given this gift so that he will work with it, so that he will put it to use. للاستخدام مش لأي هدف آخر. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, he says in verse 7, and the purpose is that the body as a whole would benefit for the profit of all. Then he mentions various gifts that were given. For a couple of weeks now we've been speaking about some of the supernatural gifts given at that time, بعض من الهبات العجائبية الفائقة للطبيعة اللي رب أعطاها بهداك الوقت. He mentions healings and miracles, الشفاءات والعجائب. Remember the following things which we see in the Bible as we look at miracles, the miracles of the Bible. The miracles of the Bible are evident and demonstrable, أشياء واضحة. Not a matter of my stomach was hurting me and it stopped hurting me. You don't actually have a miracle like that in the Bible. What you have is someone was blind and now can see. Someone was lame and now can walk. Someone was dead and is now alive. Things that are self-evident. إشياء بتشهد لنفسها بكل وضوح. Also, miracles in the Bible, there is usually a worthy motive. دافع مرتب ومحترم. Usually, it is to confirm the message that is being presented and ultimately, of course, to bring glory to God's name. Miracles in the Bible usually involve witnesses, credible witnesses. Here comes someone and says, 100 years ago in my village up in the mountains, there was an appearance of this or that person who had passed away. ظهور لحدان توفى. وين بضيعتي من 100 سنة. How many people are around right now who can credibly bear witness? يلي بيقدروا بمصداقية بيقدروا يشهدوا لهذا الأمر. الحدث المزعوم من 100 سنة أو 200 سنة. وبالتالي ما في أي شهود ذات مصداقية. Instantaneous effects. التأثير المباشر. Things that can be examined. that can be seen. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, you think that I am a ghost, you think that I'm a spirit, give me something to eat. So they gave him something to eat, and he ate before them some fish and the honeycomb, which was what? Which was evident proof of what? Of the miracle of his resurrection. عجيبة قيامته أثبت المسيح لما فكروا أنه شبع أو روح قال لهم هاتوا لأكل وعطوا عسل وعطوا سمك وعطوا سمك. So these are some of the things that we see in miracles of the time. We also do not see that the focus at any time of the ministry of the Lord Jesus or of the apostles or of the prophets in the Old Testament, we don't see that the focus was to heal people. The focus was to deliver a message from God for people to receive this message and to believe it and turn to God. If you look at the Lord Jesus, if you look at the apostles, they weren't performing miracles all the time. This was not what their ministry was about. Nor do we have reason to think that in the time of the early church, every believer was performing miracles, that every believer was performing miracles. Brother Kevin actually mentioned something last Sunday. He said when Dorcas died, لما طبيثة توفت, they sent for Peter to raise her from the dead. They didn't say, we will raise her from the dead. أرسلوا لبطرس وخبروا وهو أقام من الموت. We have to remember as well that that there is much that happens in the world where you see, in effect, counterfeiting, tazif. There are people who pretend to perform miracles, who don't really perform miracles. At the same time, the Bible warns us that there are powers of wickedness which have a certain amount of ability. في قوة شريرة إلى مقدرة معينة في صنع آيات وعجائب. Keep in mind as well that many diseases have to do with what? Have to do with the mind, arise from the mind. Anxiety, troubled thoughts, a difficult situation that we are dealing with can manifest itself how? There is an influence on the body. It does happen. Some people say a large amount of what happens in the way of physical ailments, المصاعب والأوجاع والأتعاب الجسدية عدد لا بأس منها, لأنه الإنسان بيكون عنده مشكلة بفكره, مش إنه عم يتخيل إنه إيده عم توجعه, لا إيده عم توجعه بس مش لأنه ضربه بالحيط, مش لأنه وقع وضربه بالأرض. إيده عم توجعه لأنه مشغول بالنسبة مثلا لشو, فكر انه يمكن شغلة معينة ما تزبط بشغله, يمكن يطردوه من شغله. تزبط القضية بشغله, بيتثبت بمحله, بطل ايده وتوجعه. This can happen. I'm not saying that every situation is like this, but there are many situations that are like this, where the problem arises from a person's mind, anxiety, لما في تشويش, لما في هم, لما في صعوبات الإنسان عم بيواجهها, تنعكس بأشياء جسدية. And then what happens is when the trouble is goes away, when the problem is solved, the physical problem goes away, and then someone can easily come and say, oh, I healed him. healed him. So these are things to keep in mind. There are many people who claim under the general title of Christianity to be performing healings. Listen, it's not just one group. It is not just one group. مش مجموعة وحدة. And if you look carefully at what they say they do, you find out that a lot of it is exaggeration and inaccuracy. في كتير من المبالغة وتصوير الأمور بطريقة غير دقيقة. And then keep in mind that there is a great deal of similarity between what these people say and what people non-Christians say. What people non-Christians say. A great deal of similarity. And so if you're going to say that this is legitimate, what will you say about the others? What will you say about the others? If I were to tell you that within a context called a Christian context, someone will tell you, oh, go to a particular place and you will be healed. Many people say it in a non-Christian context. مثل ما في ناس ضمن إطار يقال له مسيحي بيقولوا روحوا هالمحل بتشفوا. كمان في ناس بإطار غير مسيحي بيقولوا كلام مشابه. ومثل ما هدول بيخبروا قصص عن شفاءات ودوليكي كمان بيخبروا قصص عن شفاءات. واحد بيشوف نقاط الشبه عديدة جدا، بالتالي بيقول انه اذا هيدا شرعي فهل ممكن ان يكون هداك شرعي كمان. So this is something to keep in mind. These are things that we have looked at. Let us go on. In verse 10 he mentions the discerning of in verse 10 before the discerning of spirits he mentions prophecy. Prophecy, speaking in some sense words that are given by God, declaring a message from God. This could be something that involves predicting future events, but we have to remember that many, many things that the prophet said in the Old Testament were not predicting future events. They were teaching God's word. They were teaching God's word. And so one should not think that prophecy is only next year something is going to happen. All right? Now, there is that element in prophecy, but there is also this is God's word, this is God's truth, this is God's message, proclaiming it, teaching it, preaching it. This is also part of prophecy. This part that I'm just mentioning, people tend to neglect. People tend to neglect. Again, why? Perhaps because people are drawn towards, you know, the dramatic part. The dramatic part is when I come and tell you, guess what, next year this is going to happen. All right? When someone comes and he teaches God's word and preaches God's word, that's not so spectacular in people's minds. Maybe that's why we forget that prophecy can mean both. Look at chapter 14 and see what he says about prophecy, and this will help us to understand what he means when he speaks of this matter. In chapter 14, let's read first of all verse 3. Can someone read for us chapter 14 and verse 3?
To edification and exhortation and comfort.
All right. So, he speaks to men, and look at the three things that are mentioned. Edification and exhortation and comfort. البناء والحث والتعزية. A person who prophesies is a person who speaks things from God to achieve these ends as far as God's children are concerned. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Also, if you look at verses 24 and 25 of chapter 14, if all prophesy, one comes in who believes not, he is convicted of all, judged of all. I'm going over the verse quickly. The secrets of his heart are made manifest, and falling down, he will worship God and report that God is in you of truth. So, part of prophecy is therefore what? Declaring God's message in such a way that it will have the impact on the heart of someone who is unsaved and bring him to a saving knowledge of the truth. This is also part of prophecy. So, prophecy, notice how it has an effect for God's children. That's chapter 14, verse 3. Edification and exhortation and comfort. Who are you edifying? You're edifying the believer. You're edifying the believer. On the other hand, prophecy also has an impact on the non-believer in the sense that hearing God's word being proclaimed, it can have the effect of bringing him to salvation, bringing him to a knowledge of the truth. So prophecy is relatively wide in terms of who it can help. It can help believers, it can help non-believers. To another, he says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, he says, to another the discerning of spirits, a temyiz. Do you remember this story that my dad used to tell? The story of a supermarket that was flooded. And what happened was all the cans had the labels washed off of them. كل تنكات الأكل على اختلافها الموجودة بهالدكان كلها الورقة الخارجية شو صار فيها بفعل المي وقعت صار عنده تنك بس الورق هيك ورقات صاروا على جنب فشو عمل يلا لزق شيء على شيء على شيء على شيء and so what happens is, there are many people who their name is one thing and their reality is another thing. بالكلام شيء وبالواقع والجوهر شيء آخر شيء آخر. And there is a need for discernment. إنه يكون في تمييز. We need to be discerning regarding what is right teaching and what is right practice. شو هو التعليم الصحيح وشو هي الممارسة الصحيحة لهذه التعليم. لهذه التعليم. We need to be discerning concerning what? Concerning teachers. Because if you discern the teaching, you discern the teacher as well. So, let's read some verses about this. First of all, Galatians 1, 6 through 8. Galati 1, 6 ila 8. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, ila injil akhar. Which is not another. It's not a real and true gospel. There are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. If an angel comes, glorious in appearance, Majid bi Masar, and preaches another gospel, it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. My father told the story of someone he knew, a well-known person in the country at the time, who asked him about the Mormons. سألوا عن جماعة المورمون. And he said, this person was very, very favorably impressed with them as a group. And he said, notice they don't drink anything alcoholic. They don't even drink coffee. ما بيشربوا أي شيء ولا حتى بيشربوا أي قهوة. And then my father told him, yes, and they teach that Jesus and the devil are twin brothers. So it can appear. All right, and this is not to focus on one group as if there is only one group that a person can speak of. There are many, many things that can be said about many people. رب يشفع علينا نحن ونقدم صورة صحيحة بحياتنا للإنجيل. What can happen is people can be over-impressed by what? By certain details that are not the essence. Because a person doesn't drink and he doesn't drink coffee, either. Someone can think that what he teaches is right, but this is not discernment. This is not discernment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 3 and 4. Corinthians 2, إصحاح 11, 2, إصحاح 11, والأعداد 3 و 4.
For as a fool, I was not with
And no, I'm not sure that that's it. Chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means. All right, that's 11:3 in the same chapter. Read for us 13, 14, and 15. This is 2 Corinthians 11, Corinthians 11, 11-15. Go ahead, please.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work.
Alright, الشيطان بيقدر يظهر بشو بشكل ملاك نور. ملاك نور. And so it is not strange if his servants can appear to be workers of righteousness. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Discernment is what we are talking about, the temyiz. 1 John chapter 4 and the first two verses, beginning with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By this ye shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Remember the Lord Jesus. They asked him about signs of the end times, alimat zaman al-akhir, and he said, many people will come, and they will say what? They will say, I am Christ. People will say that. And so there is a need to understand what is real and what is not, what is true and what is not. At-tamyiz. The Corinthians themselves needed discernment. One of the things that happened to them was that they were very interested in things that were visible, أشياء مرئية, the spotlight shining on me, إنه أنا أكون محط الانتباه, محط الانتباه. And so they could easily be deceived. Because this is not a right evaluation of things. هيدا التقييم منه تقييم صحيح وبالتالي واحد بيفتح الباب لشو انه ينخدع من الناس. There needs to be a discerning of spirits. There, another gift that is mentioned, in fact, the last gift in the list. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verses 8 through 10. The last gift that is mentioned, or should I say two gifts, various kinds of tongues, and also the interpretation of tongues. Now, the word tongue is actually a word that means language. رَبْدَ عَنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ الشَّعُوبِ مِنْ كُلِّ الْأَلْسِنِ. All right? The Lord has called people, his children, from every people and from every tongue. What does it mean from every tongue? It means from every language. This is what the word means. On the day of Pentecost, let's go back to Acts chapter 2 and read about the miracle that the Lord performed. أعمال إصحاح 2 ونقرأ ابتداء من العدد 4. And they were all filled, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, remember the word means languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them this utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Remember, this is when, the time of Pentecost, one of the most important feasts, religious feasts, and Jews would come to the city of Jerusalem from all over the world in order to celebrate Pentecost there, Yom al-Khamsin. Let's keep reading. We are in Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue," remember the word means language, "wherein we were born?" Now there is a list of places and, of course, languages associated with each place. Parthians and Medes and Elamites. These are places that are in the east, in Persia, what you would call today Iran. Dwellers in Mesopotamia, a little bit closer, that's Iraq. Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Now you are talking about regions, some of them in what we would call today Turkey. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, of course we know where that is. Parts of Libya about Cyrene. We know where Libya is. Strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes from the island of Crete, and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues, that is, in our languages, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What means this?" Read also in Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Read what Peter says. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." This is from who? This is from Christ. This is from God. This is from the Holy Spirit. See how the matter is supposed to serve for what purpose? Serve what purpose? To authenticate the message, tasdiq al-risali. They began to speak with other languages on that day as the Lord gave them utterance. Others heard what was said, and the words were clearly identifiable. They meant something in the different languages which were enumerated. And what were they speaking about? They were speaking about the wonderful works of God. Amel Rab al-Ajibi. Al-Ajibi. Now, to some, given the gift of tongues, the gift of languages. Now here in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, he just mentions this gift. The gift will become the subject of the discussion in chapter 14. And therefore, rather than talking about it before he gets to it, let's stick with the general exposition which he presents. Remember, there were certain things that he wanted to say about the gift of tongues, but he's laying a foundation. He's establishing general principles. عم يوضع أساس وعم يعطي مبادئ وبعدين بيدخل بالتفاصيل فندخل بالتفاصيل معه لما منوصل للإصحاح 14. Let's get into the details with him when we get to chapter 14, Lord willing. Notice that the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues associated with it, it appears here at the end of the list. And some people think that on purpose Paul put it at the end of the list. It wasn't a mistake to try to get them to understand that this gift was not as important as they thought. As they thought. Anyway, we will come to more along those lines. Verse 11. The list from 8 to 10 is something that we've gone through now. Remember, I say it again, There is mention of spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. There's another shorter passage in 1 Peter chapter 4. This is not necessarily to be thought of as a list that is 100% and the defining list. ليست بتعرف الأمر لأنه في أشياء مذكورة برومي 12 مش مذكورة هون. Some things mentioned in Romans 12 not mentioned here. So this is not a defining list. All these works, the one and the very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. The Holy Spirit is authoritative. The Lord, the Holy Spirit has authority, power, عنده السلطة والقدرة. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. He has the sovereignty, he has the authority to give to one and the other as he desires. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. According to his own will. And so the matter of one person has this gift, another person has this gift, who has what gift and where and when and how, God is the one who decides. The Holy Spirit divides unto people authoritatively, sovereignly. The credit for these gifts belongs to the Spirit. The gifts are given by one and the selfsame Spirit. So credit belongs to the Lord. It does not appear very likely, especially in view of the discussion which follows, it doesn't appear very likely that one person would be endowed with all these gifts. إنه شخص واحد يكون عنده كل هالمواهب والقدرات. But whatever happens, the credit belongs to the Lord, not to the person, as far as the presence of this gift in his life. Keep in mind that the Lord had given to these people, these believers, a certain number of gifts, given, it seems, with a certain abundance. If you go back to the first chapter, chapter 1 and verse 7, what does Paul say there? He says, so that ye come behind in no gift, in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also remember that the general character of this group of believers, was that they were worldly believers. They were carnal believers, عالميين وجسديين. This is what he says very clearly in chapter 3. Look at the beginning of chapter 3. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? One says, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Now, some people might think, how is it that they have spiritual talents and abilities, but at the same time, they are carnal, that they are worldly? How is it? These things seem to be not in harmony with each other. But whenever we think that way, we are making a mistake. We are making a mistake. We're falling into the same kind of mistake that they were falling into. Inasmuch as we have talents and abilities, that means that we are spiritual. The mere presence of talents and abilities, spiritual talents given by God in the life of a certain person, does not necessarily mean that this is a spiritual believer. He could be a carnal believer. To measure a person's spirituality by the talents and abilities that he has is a mistake. This is what the Bible is trying to tell us. It might seem strange to us, but this is what the Bible is clearly saying. It seems strange to me, not exactly the same example, but it seems strange to me what the Bible mentions in Philippians chapter 1 from verse 14 and the next few verses. I'll go ahead and read them. Philippians 1:4. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Personally, I find it strange and hard to believe that some people would preach Christ of envy, strife, and contention. Nevertheless, let God be true and every man a liar. And there are people, here and there you run into people who preach Christ. Why? Let's say one day, all right, I get upset with you, you get upset with me, and so I go to the next building, all right, and I decide I'm going to start a church there, all right? And I start giving out tracts to people, and I start trying to get people to come. Why? Yes, exactly. It's a spirit of what? A spirit of rivalry between one and another group, which is motivating me in that case. I hope that that scenario never materializes. But it can happen. Why do I want to preach Christ? Because I want more people to come to my place than come to that other place. And then what happens is I send reports to people abroad and I tell them, look, there are more people coming to my place. Give me money. You know, it ends up being what? It ends up being a way to build a personal empire. It's strange, but it happens. Preaching Christ of envy, strife, and contention, when you think about it, it happens. And also this matter of people can be endowed with spiritual gifts, but at the same time be carnal, and they can be using these spiritual gifts in the wrong way. This is also something that can happen. Something that can happen. It can happen in our day and time, and it was happening in the time of Church of Corinth. The Spirit works in every man. In every man. One of the things that he is emphasizing is that it's not that the one who has a visible gift, عنده شخص موهبة هيك بتخليه إنه يكون مرئي, يوقف على المنبر, ناس بيشوفوا إنه صوته حلو أو تعبيره جميل. People see this gift. It is a visible gift. Somebody else does something that people don't see. And people end up saying, oh, he has the Spirit. The other person, frata, change, small change. No. The Spirit working in every heart, in every life, Not in the same way as far as details are concerned. Look, do you want a world where every person is a photocopy of every other person? Do you want a world where every person is a duplicate of another person? Where every person is a clone of every other person? Where the weather every day is the same? Where all flowers are the same color? Where all flowers are the same color? Look, you can build the world you want. God has built the world that He wants. God has built the world that He wants. In fact, the things that I've mentioned where everybody has to be exactly the same. You know, there are these, in science fiction, عالم القصص الخيالية عادة بتكون قصص عن المستقبل. All right? There are stories that are about the future, and they are positive. Sometimes people call them utopian stories. utopian from an old Greek world, indicating an ideal world. And then there are stories about the future where people say things are going to go wrong and they become bad. And there's a word here that's not that familiar, which is dystopian. All right? قصص عن المستقبل محل محل المستقبل حزين وبيفزع. All right? And one of the things that you find in those sad stories about the future is everybody has to be the same. Right? They all have to be the same height. They all have to wear the same clothes. They all have to wake up in the morning at the same time, go to sleep at the same time, and that kind of thing. That kind of thing. So anyway, that's an interesting thing to keep in mind. But anyway, we're not talking about science fiction literature. We're talking about what the Lord says. The Lord says that the Spirit is working in each one sovereignly, wisely, dividing to each one in a different manner as he sees fit. As he sees fit. Sometimes in our old translations, it says the Spirit as it sees. That's not a good translation. It's the Spirit as he sees, because the Spirit is a person. The Spirit is not it. It's hard to translate that into Arabic because there is no it in Arabic. It's like what? And here comes an analogy that he is going to make use of heavily in the remaining part of this chapter. صورة رح يستخدمها بتقل بما تبقى من الإصحاح, which is the analogy of a body, of a body, الجسد. One of the nice things about this analogy is you're not talking about what some strange thing that few people experience. If you'll allow me to mention something about Brother Dan, if you don't mind, you know that as you get higher and higher and higher elevations, ارتفاع أكثر وأكثر وأكثر, بصير الناس يمرضوا يتضايقوا من شو من الارتفاع.
Yes.
From the elevation, not enough oxygen. I remember talking to Brother Dan and finding out that he visited Tibet, certain areas close to Tibet. And so I ended up asking him, what happened in terms of the elevation and were you uncomfortable? And he did get uncomfortable to a certain extent, quite uncomfortable. Now, that's an interesting thing. It's an interesting physical phenomenon. إنه إذا واحد راح إلى محلات مرتفعة كتير الأكسجين بيقل, there's less oxygen, people therefore get uncomfortable, and this discomfort can cause, the higher you go, it can cause death. It can cause problems in the brain, and it can cause problems in the body. But the thing is, I don't know whether anyone else here has experienced that in a direct way, We've read about it. We've heard about it. Brother Dan has experienced it. We're glad that he's here. glad that he's in full health. And we thank the Lord for that. Everyone has a body. Everyone can understand that I've got fingers and hands. I've got toes and feet. I've got legs and arms. I've got eyes and ears. I've got a nose. All right? It is an analogy that's very close to each and every one of us. And what he wants to do, he will use this analogy and make various points by referring to it in various ways. What he wants people to understand is that there are different parts in the body, but there is one body. There are different parts in the body, but there is one body. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There is an aspect of the body where you have what? Where you have diversity and multiplicity, you might say. And that is expressed in what? Many members. And then he says members again in verse 12. And then he says many. But there is a very fundamental aspect of the body as well, which is that the body is one. And this is emphasized in verse 12 by saying the body is one. And then in the middle of the verse, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. When he says so also is Christ, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the body of Christ, that Christ had fingers and hands and toes and feet, arms, legs? No, no, no. So also is Christ. Here the word Christ most likely should be understood as a reference to what? As a reference to the body of Christ, which is the church. The body of Christ, which is the believers. There is this aspect in which there are many gifts, in which there is diversity, in which there are differences, but there is a very important aspect in which there is unity, in which there is one body, in which there is one body. It's useful. Picture, like I said, one that everyone should be able to relate to very, very directly and understand. In fact, a common picture. Paul himself most likely did not come up with this picture. At least we know that it was used in other writings of the time, and before that, we'll look at that. We'll look at that, and we'll see what he says. And how he uses this picture to address these believers. And so we should understand. Many members, one body. Many members, one body. This is what he says to them and what he says to us. And it's not just Paul speaking. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Lord. It is God's word that says to us these things written for us. Many members, one body. One body. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your servant Paul. We thank you for these believers, the believers of the Church of Corinth. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts and abilities, the talents which you had given unto them. Different things we read of them, and we pray that you would help us to know that you have given gifts unto your children, given talents and abilities. And that which was addressed to them regarding the right understanding and the proper use of these gifts and abilities, that this also applies to us. Help us to understand that your Holy Spirit sovereignly, authoritatively, gives to each one as he pleases. Help us to know and to understand that there are many talents, but there is one body of Christ, one church. There are many members, but there is one body. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.